So, Father, that's our goal. That's it. Freedom. Church, say it with me. One, two, three. Freedom. That is it. We want freedom. We seek it only through you. Only through Jesus. No other source this morning. No self-help. No fine book on the New York bestsellers. No internet website. Done more. Just meet us. Have your way this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Josh Garrels in concert last week, and we missed it. He was in Anaheim last week. One of my favorite artists. You guys know me. You know that. His songs tell the story, but that song tells his story. Best thing about it is there's no posing going on there. Everyone can pose. I hate it when a musician, you know, sings about other things or other people, and we never get to know the musician. This is one of those guys that doesn't mind you knowing his life and who he's at. He's very vulnerable in his music. I welcome you into all of that this morning. Vulnerability, honesty, no posing. I welcome you into all of those things. It's a simple topic, but boy, does it seem to hammer us over and over again. I'm right there with you. I'm right there with Josh. I'm sick and tired of this. I'm sick and tired of these things. I don't want to be dead wrong on the deadline. I don't want to be wrong. I want to know where I'm going. I want to know who's waiting for me, and also want to have a relationship before I even get there. I welcome you to Avalon Community Church this morning. This 10:30 service is geared for practicality. It's geared to take the gospel in a very simple way to where you can apply it to your life. This morning we are looking at, overall, temptation. Next week I'm going to talk about sexual temptation. It's always a big week when you mention sex in church. It doesn't happen all the time. That's next week. Then the next couple weeks we're going to talk about other forms, though, of temptation. How to get a plan to battle it. But if I were to ask you, what are the things you struggle with most? And here in this town, I work with a lot of people, most of them younger during the course of the midweek. But I get the sex, the drugs, the partying, the smoking, language cheating, all of it. Most of these things you're tempted by all the time. So instead of ignoring them, I really want to talk about them. I really feel like the church can be passive in a lot of ways. I'm not saying this church, the church in general. Here in Avalon, we have to look at things. I noticed some stuff on the front page of the paper this week, and it concerned me. It concerned me. I'm thankful we had a council member that voted differently. I feel differently about these things because I work with the young people in this community. I work with the young adults, and I also work with employers who have employees that are late for work or don't show up, or maybe there's high risk in the job that they have, such as a zip line and other things. I'm concerned. So we need to talk about these things. Most of these things you're tempted by all the time. And that's why I'm calling this How Not to Get Caught. How not to get caught in temptation. When you get caught in anything, you feel like a loser. Okay? Bottom line. That's just it. Several years ago, when working with a group of high schoolers, there was this guy that came in to our gymnasium. And it was a packed out crowd, but he stood out. And his name was Dan, I found out later on. Dan looked like he fell into a tackle box. Everything you could pierce, he had pierced. He had chains, and I'm not against chains, but all I had was bike chains, so I had no real connection with this guy. But he just came in and sat down. And I wanted to talk to him, and I really thought it might work out, but it was rough. I mean, there was a lot he was holding on to. So I just introduced myself, said, "Hey, thanks for coming." And this went on for several weeks. He just hang out, kind of came in right when things started, sat in the back, and quite honestly, his body language said, "I am seriously forced to be here right now." It was just very tough communication coming back to me. He really was fighting it hard. And so over the course of a couple of months, he started to lighten up a little bit. Conversation started. He did introduce himself, called him, you know, he said, "My name is Dan." And then all of a sudden I noticed Dan started to invite another guy. And they both looked like they came from the same garage or something. They both came in, both sat in the back. It was Dan, and he introduced his friend Joe. And I met Dan and Joe. And before you know it, I was like, dudes, I got to get to know you better. Let's go out for a Coke or something. Or how about a restaurant? Denny's on me. And within a few weeks, we had done Denny's a couple times. I actually got to hear a little bit of their story. One Sunday after church, they slipped a map into my my sermon notes. And it said, 11 p.m., follow the map. You know? Like, you know, until met type thing. I was like, oh, gosh. It said, bring a backpack. And I thought, great, they're going to slice me up and put all my parts inside a backpack or something like that. I had no idea what to expect, but I followed the map at 11 o'clock at night. And it led out to a beach nearby my house. It wasn't too far away, which is kind of odd. All they had to say was meet at the beach. But they wanted the map and all the stuff. And we got there, and I had my backpack, and they had theirs. And within a few minutes, they had emptied out a ton of Frisbees out of their backpack. And they had talked to me about what they were going to do that night. The beach was fairly dark, with the exception of occasional volleyball nets here and there that were lit up. And we started to throw Frisbees at random targets in the dark. Most people would call that Frisbee golf, okay? They just wanted to hit stuff. I don't think it was golf or anything that had to do with the sport. It was, there's a target, let's nail it. And I had a blast, I'll be honest with you. It really was fun. I mean, except for the fact you could get hit with one of these. You know how you throw it too high and it comes back kind of a thing. It's almost pitch black out there, running around on the beach throwing Frisbees. Me, Dan, and Joe, and a couple other dudes they invited. Well, that went on for a couple of weeks. You know, I didn't need a map any longer, and I showed up, and now I had a backpack, and some Frisbees were in my backpack, and I started looking for the perfect Frisbee. And then one guy took it up a notch and said, hey, we're going to throw discs. How many know what a disc is? Okay, a few of you do, all right? It's different than a Frisbee, isn't it? All right, I got two of them up here. A Frisbee will go probably, you know, half a length of a football field. Maybe you can get 60 yards out of it at best. This bad boy here will go 1.5 football fields and keep right on going, okay? It's extremely heavy compared to, and it's very flat. You don't want to get hit in the side of the head with one of these. But this thing will do some damage, and they chose this in the dark, okay? Yeah. All of a sudden, I'm thinking, what have I found myself in here? And then we took it up a notch. What you're looking at on the screen is the Hilton Resort Inn on Clearwater Beach. As you can see, there is a fire escape that's in the middle right here. It just see the darker black squares. They wanted to have a target by throwing off the top of the Hilton. Meaning, out here, this little beach hut. See the top of the beach hut here? They wanted to try to hit this target. Long story short, we climbed the elevator, discs in our rear end, back pockets, shirts covering them, all the way to the top, walked out into the fire escape, which is this big open hole in the wall. And I'm like, what is going on here? And all of a sudden, Joe just lets it go. And the wind is just howling this night. It's like a 20-mile-an-hour wind. And that thing just hung out to dry. It was flying into the dark. And it was supposed to, you know, they fly at angles, if you know this thing. It's not like a Frisbee. It flies straight. It flies at an angle. So you aim for your straight target by throwing it way over here. Long story short, this thing just came right down and did not hit the little tiki hut. It went into the deck and underneath an umbrella where everyone was eating with their wine glasses included. And splash, glass. Oh, my gosh, is right. And I'm with these guys, and all of a sudden, I see this security guard, little thing, walk out on the deck. You know, it was a junior cop, you know, the kind that have handcuffs, and you don't know any other reason they're there. And they were standing there, and they're looking, they're surveying the scene, and all of a sudden, everyone's like, I have no idea. You know, there's this disc in the middle of their table. And so they thought, it must have come from up there. And he starts looking like this. We're all leaning over the edge. I'm like, what am I doing here right now? And he looks up, and he goes like this, and we all just backed up, and everyone runs to the elevator, except for me. I hit the stairs. They were closest to us. So I just start going down the stairs, all right? And little did I know, he was coming up the same stairs. Should have done the elevator. All I know is I'm coming down. He's coming up. All my friends have just scattered. No one cares about anyone at that point. It's every man for himself. Get to the parking lot, get in your car, and get the heck out of Dodge. So I literally heard someone come upstairs because you're inside an open well thing and you hear someone coming up. So I bailed into like third level and I took the rest of the way down. I'm flying into my car. I have no idea where my Frisbees are. I've dropped everything. I'm just running. I get in my car. I probably broke every speed limit you could crossing the bridge. I pull into a garage that's not fit for the car, crushing toys and everything else. And I pull in there and I run in and I'm literally in the dark in my blinds just thinking somebody is going to pull into my driveway and arrest me right now. Youth pastor arrested, front page, you know, and I realized my opportunity of ministry to these guys in Frisbee throwing is over. This is it. It's all over. One of the scariest situations. Now, I could go on and on. I have a billion of those stories. That one right there, that was a close call. But I sat back and I'm like, oh, great. I'm literally going to get caught. This whole idea of getting caught, I don't want that. I know I'm going to get called in the office tomorrow. You know, all of us, though, we feel like losers. I don't want to get caught. I don't want to get caught. Cheating. I don't want to call it lying, stealing, no matter what it is. Some of us even lying to our parents back in the day about where you were and what was going on. Something about this feeling that none of us like to enjoy. And I want to spend a little bit about time just kind of what catches you and what catches me in these situations. Some of you have shared with me, Andrew, you're a pastor. You don't struggle with temptation, okay? Yeah, right. All right? No one, even the man in Rome, okay? No one struggles or is out from under struggling with temptation. No one, okay? Everybody struggles. If somebody tells you they don't struggle, okay, you can call them a liar. Big deal here is everybody's tempted. As a matter of fact, the more you grow in your relationship with God, the closer that you get with God, the more you're going to be tempted. It's just the way it works, okay? We have to face it. There's a problem that's been around since the beginning of time. When Adam and Eve were tempted, we all face it, whether you're a non-church person, you're seeking, you're here, you're just kind of checking this thing out, maybe a little different. The songs today may be a little uplifting or something was encouraging you through the music. I don't care who you are, okay? You're checking this out. You feel like, at times, like I do, like a loser, but those that call themselves Christians, doesn't matter. This is a universal problem. Temptation's there, and it takes us out. What happens to our lives when temptation wins? Look at your notes, okay? Look at your notes. And by the way, it's not wrong to be tempted. You need to hear me. It's not wrong to be tempted, okay? It's wrong when we give in to that temptation. That's when it leads to problems. That's when things start to change. So what happens when temptation wins? I'm going to rip through these because I want to get to the hope. The hope is found in Scripture, but here's some of the things when temptation wins. Number one, it robs us of our confidence. It's gone. I work with a lot of high schoolers, and they share stories with me. This one young man, I borrowed permission to share this story this morning. He said I could. Let me tell you what he told me. He said on Friday nights, he goes over to his girlfriend's house, and he knows they've talked about boundaries and standards in their relationship, which is kind of different here in this community, but we have some good things going on through our FCA program, and we've started some pretty solid teaching there. And this young man's tried to stick with what God's Word says makes a healthy relationship. And he tried to set these things out and these standards, and he goes over, and for some reason the parents are out or the parents are gone to bed. The TV really has kind of lost its focus. And they go at it. And he says, once we're done going too far, the guilt hits. Then I drive home and I think, what an idiot. I can't believe I did that. I'm never going to do that again. Pulls the golf cart in. He sits there yelling at himself, God, please forgive me. And then two nights later, he gets a phone call. Come on over tomorrow. And he's like, I'm right there. And I go over, and it happens again. And then on my way home in the golf cart, I'm thinking, what an idiot. And I pull into the driveway, and by the time I pull in, it's, God, please forgive me. over and over again. This cycle goes on. I've done this so many times, he says, that now I barely even think about it anymore because I feel like such a loser. It's catching up with me. I don't have confidence that I can win this battle. And that is what happens when temptation continues to win. It breaks down your confidence. You guys, we did a sermon series not long ago called How to Increase Your What? Confidence. Okay? This is one of the big ones. I just kind of pulled that one out and reinserted that in here. This is serious stuff. It's eating away at something that God wants to establish. Some people, when they lack confidence, you remember that series, I said some people, when they lack it, they lash out at anger or they use anger at other people. They blame other people in their insecurity. They lash out. Not only does it rob you of your confidence, but sometimes it changes your character too. Okay? It comes in there and you start to blame others. Number two, it leads to bigger problems. Write it in. It leads to bigger problems. For example, with the guy I just told you about, he feels like a loser. And when he feels like a loser, he feels, I might as well give in to other things. I've already blown it here. I've already messed up here. And I know in my own life, I've shared with you over the years that I had to stop eating. Basically, when I hit my young 30s, you know, the way I had a youth pastor's diet. We're talking fries, burgers, hot dogs, pizza, ice cream. You know what I'm saying, right? And by the time my metabolism kicked in at 30-something, I just was blowing up like a balloon. 20 pounds was no big deal in just the course of a couple of weeks. And then I'd have to go out and I'd have to bust it and hustle it off and work it off. And I'd start eating better. And then all of a sudden, I'd kick in. And I think, you know what? I've just eaten all this junk. I've already blown it. I might as well do it again today. And then the next day, all of a sudden, I'm in trouble again. I'm trying to get caught up. It's that easy. These areas are sudden, but your mind begins to think, I could compromise in other areas of my life too. So that simple thing about eating now is in my mentality of, I've already blown it. I might as well eat this. And then my mentality is going, well, I've already blown it. And it starts to build up the callus, so to speak. When temptation wins, it leads to bigger problems. Some of you have watched, the time that I've lived here, and I've seen some incredible things in your life, some big things. In fact, I've gotten to know you more closely. Our hearts come together, and there are some young people that I've watched that have come up through our middle school, and we had a little gap in time there where we kind of missed some of those ministry days, but these kids were given good roots. They were given some good teaching through the children's department. Really good stuff. And they get into high school, and they mean well. They seriously mean well. They have set up success for themselves based on what they've heard at a very young age. And all of a sudden, they get to that situation, and all of a sudden, they give in, or they're at a party, and somebody goes, "Do you smoke?" And you go, "Yeah." And you don't. But you never have, and you're tempted by it, so you open it up right there. You open the gate, and you step through, then all of a sudden it's not a cigarette, it's pot. Then it's parting, then it's other things, and you keep walking through this gate, and temptation wins. It's just leading to bigger and bigger problems, because you simply cannot stop once that gate opens. It's rough. Number three, it brings death to relationships. It brings death to relationships. When temptation wins, relationships die out. The Bible is very clear about this. I'll show you in a minute. But those of you who think that stuff you do by yourself isn't going to affect your relationships, that's totally wrong. Totally. Okay? We have football road trips all the time. And sometimes there's overnighters. And, you know, I'll have a group of guys in my room, in my hotel room, or maybe we're on a boat. And I don't know how it happens, but within a few minutes, everybody's talking about sex. Okay? Actually, it has nothing to do with the time of day. Actually, when they get on the boat, they're already talking about sex. And it's just this conversation comes up, and they're thinking in terms of, you know, what's, you know, to be satisfied for themselves that day. And it's not really affecting anyone else in any way. That type of problem, that type of sin just doesn't, you know, affect just them. But they're not thinking that way. They're not thinking that, you know, pornography and fantasy and these things affecting their future wife or bringing that into their marriage. But we give in to temptations, not just fantasy, not just porn and that type of thing in other areas, but it literally starts to derail relationships. There's something that God set up chemically for a man and a woman. And when we play around with that, something lacks later on. There's a struggle in communication. There's a struggle in the relating with each other. And I can go on and on. And that's all next week. But let's talk about some of your parents, perhaps. Or some of you maybe are parents. And when they gave into that temptation to drink, and all of a sudden they took that next drink and that next drink. And as one young man has told me that comes here often, he literally saw his dad beat up his mom. And we hear this stuff in circles of confidence up at the campfire with the guys every week. And these boys get up and they walk out of the room, or they try to solve the problem and they get hit in the mix. Don't tell me that it doesn't affect our relationships. Don't tell me that it doesn't have death to a relationship, because some of those boys just want to take it out right now. Okay? And they'd like to do it against their father if they had the chance. Instead, we've helped them channel that, and they put on pads and a helmet, and they play football. But there's a layer of anger that's there, and it's very real at what's fueling it. It does bring struggle to relationships, and there's a choice that needs to be made. That's why you saw this picture of the railroad crossing here. There is a choice on which direction you go. There's even a choice on which side of the tracks you choose to be on. This is not a pretty picture, and this is the picture of what happens when temptation wins in our life. I'm going there. I'm going there because we want a healthy church and want people getting the help that they need, but it does bring death to relationships. Number four, hypocrites. It just makes you feel like a hypocrite. When temptation wins, that's where it goes. And this point is really geared for those of you who call yourself Christians. Okay? Those of us that do. I've had so many of us say, I feel like a hypocrite. I come to church on Sunday. I'm in a small group. I'm talking about the Lord, but I just can't conquer this issue and this problem. It is non-stop with me. And I do a lot of counseling, and I hear that. And my story comes out too, so I can relate. If you're visiting us, this point isn't for you. Take a mental vacation just for a minute, okay? I've told you this before. If you're a believer, you know, Satan has lost you for eternity. That's what Scripture says. You're out of his grasp, but he wants to make you ineffective for today. He will shut down your witness. For those of you who know Christ, for those of you who are in his family, you're a child of the King, the enemy wants to shut down your witness and your effectiveness in your own family members' lives and your neighbors. Maybe even those in your classroom or those that you coach. It's a big deal. He makes it enticing, and he does it by temptation. It's a big deal. Number five, it leads to a hard heart. I hate this one most of all. We're working on men's hearts. We're working on women's hearts here in this church. The heart is central. It is a wellspring of life. And Scripture tells us that, man, the enemy wants to assault your heart. And he goes after that, making you think you are a wicked person. And your heart is nothing but wicked. Okay? And Jesus says, I came to seek what was lost. Not the lost. What was lost. And he says, I've come, okay, to restore your heart. You've lost heart. You've been under assault. The enemy is very clear about his intentions. It says in Scripture that he schemes. You know, he schemes. So he's planning. This is a very scary thing for me, because I see many people with a hard heart. A hard heart is when you hear something and you believe it, and you have no desire to act on it at all, to do something about it. It's kind of like a callus. It'd be like I stood at the door, and when you walked in every Sunday, I had a piece of sandpaper, and I just smacked you in the forehead with sandpaper, and that hurts, and you'd say, what are you doing? But if you came back the next week and I did it again, and every time I smacked you across your forehead, eventually you would bleed, okay? But then you'd scar, then you'd callous, and you're kind of liking it, and there's a callousness to it, and this is what's going on and on and on. You just build up a resistance to it. And when we do this with our lives, we hear stuff, we believe it, but we don't act on it. We don't respond to it because temptation continues to win. Our heart becomes hard. Our heart becomes hard. Number six, it deflates our power to share Christ. For those of you who are believers, this is everything. To actually lose a chance
to share the gospel with someone who needs it, oftentimes we feel like hypocrites. And because we have a hard heart, we don't feel worthy. We feel like we're a loser. And some of you say you feel beyond God's forgiveness. You say to me, I don't think God can forgive me for what I've done. Andrew, you have no clue. I appreciate your stories on stage about throwing frisbees and hitting wine glasses. But dude, this goes a lot further with me, bro. I mean, you don't know. I'd love to tell you, but I got to know we're apples to apples here. Because some of this stuff is legal or illegal, and it's major. I still say to you, you don't have to feel like a loser. You can be forgiven. This picture was taken 2 days ago. Had the chance to share the gospel with a group of young people. That is our high school football team standing at the foot of the cross. There's a lot there. But you have two of the six coaches that are pastors on the team. And Enrique and I love opportunity. And at the top of this hill, this Catholic school, St. Michael's, were the 12 events of the crucifixion, including this cross. So we decided to walk the 12 events. We were there 2 hours early before the game. And they heard the good news of salvation. The seeds were planted. And they heard, amen. That's God, man. They heard that you can be forgiven. You don't know how many girls I've done, Hobbs, with one young man. A tremendous athlete, 3.5 GPA. And I had a chance to look back at him and say, you can be forgiven. And the steps of reconciliation with those girls will follow. But it starts with your heart. Sharing Christ is everything. That's what forgiveness is all about. That is why Jesus died. It sounds like such a simple message. Hobbes, this is so profound. Let's go deeper into doctrine. Let's deal with the theology this morning. I start with this theology. If you cannot accept forgiveness, you're going to have a hard time forgiving others. If you cannot accept God's forgiveness for you, the fact that He did this personally for you on the cross, and I believe that God sent His Son to do this for me in my place. I can't do this for myself. The bottom line here is you cannot share the gospel with someone else. You need that gospel. It needs to work on you first before it goes anywhere else. How do we help temptation lose? What can we do this week? What can we be thinking about when temptation springs up and it hits our families, and it does to every one of us all the time? Let's turn the corner. How to help temptation lose. Number one, you and I can both start with stop blaming God. I hate this one because, man, it's so easy to do. I've heard a lot of us in here say, if God hadn't given me these hormones, geez, I'm doing this to try to live out what He gave me. Hear that? It's great. High school. Had He not made her such a babe, Hobbs? Get that. We blame God. And I just want you to think about for a minute just how dumb this sounds and these things sound. Think about, you know, my neighbor. And this was a young man that lived across from us in Florida on Pine Street. He's a young man. He literally, as a kid, he liked to light cats on fire. And yes, my neighbor did that. And his mom caught him and got him in trouble. And he said, it's not my fault. You keep bringing these cats into our house. I just was blown away. You're the one who brought the cat into our home, Mom. Okay? And at the time, it was a stepmom, and she came over and said something to me. And she said, you know, you wouldn't believe what he's saying to me. I was like, why don't you discipline this child? And then he looks at her like, you're the one who showed me how to use matches. Just ridiculous. Just dumb. Okay? It sounds so stupid. And when we blame God, that's how it sounds. Look at what the Bible says. James 1, great verse. This is not me. This is Scripture. When people are tempted, they should not say, God is tempting me. Evil cannot tempt God. And God Himself does not tempt anyone. Underline, God Himself does not tempt anyone. But people are tempted when their own evil desire leads them away and does what to them? Traps them. This desire leads to sin. Underline, desire leads to sin. Leads to problems, leads to destruction. Then the sin grows, and what does it bring, my family?
Death.
You got that right. There's that death in relationships that I talked about. Stop blaming God. God is not tempting you. If you don't get anything this morning, get this right here. God does not tempt us. He'll use those temptations to produce good things in our life, but He does not tempt you. Test you? Yes. Tempt you? No. Number two, believe that you have the power to say no. And we all have seen those bumper stickers. Say no, say no, say no. Say no to this, say no to that. This is a biggie. Belief is everything. Believing you have the power to say no. Some of you have said, I couldn't say no. I just couldn't. I was out of control. I talked to, a young lady, actually a parent of a young lady whose daughter's totally addicted to pot, smokes every day, literally has a hard time even staying awake in school right now. She said, I don't think she can literally say no because her dad couldn't say no. All of us have the power to say no, regardless of who's influenced you. It's not easy. I didn't tell her it was easy, but we all have the power to say no. The Bible says this. Remember this. Look at this scripture. Remember this. 1 Corinthians 10:13. The wrong desires that come into your life aren't anything new. Circle wrong desires. And circle anything new. And draw a line connecting those. Wrong desires aren't anything new. Some of you are dying in this pile of guilt because you think what you're going through, you're the only one going through it. And I am here to let the news go out. We're not off the hook, but you're not alone. By any means, you're not alone. We're on a guy's trip, and we're walking through the mall. This is literally Friday night. We're the buffet. This was, what is it, Lakewood Mall or whatever the mall is right here. Not far. So we're walking through this mall. The guys are beat up, and they're dragging behind, and we've got an 8-10 boat. You guys remember the wind the other night? They were canceling boats left and right. We're like, we're not going to miss this boat. You guys, let's go. Pick it up. You know, they're dead tired. They won their game. They won again, by the way. Just letting you know. And we're walking by, and they're looking in the windows at the mannequins going, oh my gosh, that mannequin's so hot. And I'm going, are you serious? And then one of our coaches goes, you know, I was thinking the same thing myself. My gosh, I can't believe they're making mannequins like this. And I'm sitting back going, we're not alone, okay? These kids and these adult guys, yeah, it's just unreal. But you're not alone. And what you think may be a little off the chart here, somebody's got the same chart. No temptation is irresistible. Underline, no temptation is irresistible. Don't say you can't. I couldn't say no. You can trust God to keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. That's the scripture here. For He promised this. And He will do what He says. He will show you how to escape. Underline, show you how to escape the temptation so you can bear up patiently against it. Some of you are saying, He'll show me how to escape. How come I haven't, Hobbs? Because you haven't taken the way out, my friend. That's a t-shirt right there. One of the ways He shows us how to escape has to do with the word connect. Now this gets a little churchy, but steer clear of that and listen to me carefully because I'm talking practical. If you don't get yourself plugged in somewhere, and you're going to hear about opportunities here, inside one of our small groups or inside something where you are known, you are heard, you are cared for, and you are loved on, and there are a million women's groups. There's some great guys groups out there, but you're this isolated thing, this lone ranger, and you're exclusive, and you're trying to do this thing on your own, you're done. You're toast. God has designed us in our DNA to connect with other people. I don't care if your job is isolated. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when there's time to talk about real life things where you can connect with another man and another woman and another teenager. And good mentoring, a good young person or a young adult that is iron sharpening iron, or they're struggling like you're struggling, but together you're seeking what God has to say. That's the backbone of how we exist. You've got to have other people. We're reaching people. Here at this church, there are, I don't even know how many small groups going on. There's a retreat for women right around the corner. Guys just did one up on the hill a couple weeks ago. There's stuff all over the place. You must look at the opportunity to escape the temptation. It's right under your nose. But if you don't go, you struggle. And if you don't have anyone able to hang out with you, you're on your own. That's tough. That's rough. And that's not the design of God's church. And that's what he's saying here is no temptation is irresistible. The plan may be right under our nose. And it's very simple. It's great, great to hear from God on this. It's his promise, literally, that God will show up and give you an escape to temptation's power so you can bear up against it. And that's the design, relationships. Do pastors need small groups? Everybody together. One, two, three. Yes. 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 Are we busy? Yes. Do we need to go to boot camps? Yes. I need it. My marriage needs it. My ministry needs it. I can't give over an abundance of what God is blessing me with unless I allow God to bless me. I can't just sit here and run on empty and expect to fly by the seat of my pants in ministry. That's not healthy and it's not going to work. Either God's going to bless it because he's in it, or he won't because he's not. And as a result, we're all in this DNA. I need a small group. I need a group of men that intentionally I fight for a time and say, here it is. I don't care if it's 5:30 in the morning, 6 a.m. And we do have to fight for those early times. And it's not easy getting all the guys there at the same time. But we do. We come together. And it's intentional. And sometimes it just seems like it's surface talk. But maybe that's necessary so we can see where God's going to lead the conversation. I don't know. I just know I need that. I need that connection. I got to fight off that resistance that I'm on my own or I got this. I don't got this. The next point's a neat one that I think gives some hope and encouragement. Number three, acknowledge that temptation produces character. Not long ago, I had the opportunity to join this team, and the team members started to duke it out with each other. The end result was a team that was going to be given the opportunity to cross the Catalina Channel in the U.S. Championships. This was a big deal. All these other races, anybody could sign up, and eventually you'll get on board there. But this one, a lot of people wanted in the boat, and you had to do time trials, and you had to, unfortunately, go at it with maybe a friend of yours for the seat in the boat, because it's a limited number that could cross. And I won't forget how hard of an event that was. I don't mean 2 hours into it, or three, or four, or five. Over 5 hours. The ladies did it also. A group of ladies crossing 3, 4, 5 hours out in the middle of nowhere out there. There was wind, there was waves, and we flipped twice. No fun. But we unflipped, and we bailed. And men stopped complaining, and the ones who threw up did their thing and got back in the chase boat, and the man kept on us and said, you aim for Fashion Island, those giant buildings, that's your jetty right there. And we got all excited and we saw the jetty, only to find out 4.1 miles are left in the race. And we continued journeying at that point, and we crossed the finish line to a handful of Avalonians that were excited for us, only to stand up and think, we've lost this race. We flipped twice. We can't possibly get anything out of this, but we did accomplish the race. And all of a sudden, we wind up in third place, and we're on the stage, and there's all these gifts, and we got this plaque. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm not exaggerating. Are you kidding me? We flipped twice. People were yelling at each other in the boats. We bailed for hours, it seemed like, versus all six guys paddling at the same time. Let me tell you something. I'd do that race again in a heartbeat if my body would allow it. But I'd do it again. You know why? Because I'll tread water out there in the middle of nowhere. I was scared to do that before. But through this team, I learned I've got to tread water out in the middle of nowhere. Miles out into the ocean. Minutes and minutes and minutes just hanging out. That deep, dark, black ocean. That's 3,700 feet of water out there. You want to tread in that water with a couple of dudes next to you? I can, because they did it with me. And I can because we trained up and down the coastline here in the harbor and off the Long Point and off of White's. We just jump out of the boat randomly and swim to the boat as it's still moving. We did lots of things. It produced a confidence inside me. And when you go through these things, fighting this temptation, but certainly looking for a way out with small group, character is produced. The scripture is loaded right here. And God's producing character in my life and in yours. These aren't my words. These are God's words. Dear brothers, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Then be happy. If we were to stop there, you'd think that was a little insane. So let's go on, okay? For when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So what? Let it grow. Let it grow. Don't try to squirm out of your problems. Circle squirm. Scripture's fun. For when your patience is finally in full bloom, then you'll be ready for anything. Circle ready for anything. Strong in character, full and complete. Acknowledge the fact that as you're being tempted, God's using this stuff to develop your character, your goodness, your honesty, your kindness, your gentleness. And doggone it, if another friend doesn't need that in you. Because they're searching for a real friend. And those are the characteristics of a real friend. So if you let God do that in you, guess what? You're going to bless someone else's life. These character qualities that are going to impact you are going to impact you for the rest of your life. Don't try to squirm out and give into it. You'll wind up getting more pain when you do. There was this kid in our youth group. He was big. His name was Earth. His real name was Jason Strubble, but we called him Earth. He was big. Big boy. He was a wrestler for Largo High School. And one night, he was in youth, and everybody's like, let's see Hobbs take on the big guy. You know? And I was like, I got this. You know, I can definitely take a middle schooler. I'll throw some high schoolers up against the wall. Earth, me and you. And that dude just sat on me and worked me over. It was over before it started. I bit off way more than I could chew. And the worst part wasn't when he hammered me and basically sat on me. It was when I squirmed. Because I got carpet burns. I got bruises. It was hurting me everywhere. And let me tell you something. That's not what he looked like, but that's the image I'm giving you, all right? That's what I look like. I was just getting worked. The more I squirmed, the more painful it got. And for some of us, in the midst of all this, we just want to squirm all over the place and literally say, God, why are you doing this? And lash out at him and blame him, point our finger to the sky, and it causes more pain and problems in the midst of all of this. In the midst of your temptation, I hope you identify what those things are. For some of you, it's not very hard at all. As I say temptation, it hits right away. You know what it is. But I want you to be thankful for your spiritual growth. I'm preaching to me right now, okay? Preaching to me right now. Be thankful for your spiritual growth. Who knows, you may end up on a stage somewhere at God's calling. Or maybe you're on a stage somewhere right now. It's called a classroom. Maybe you have a company and you have wonderful employees underneath you that you've spent time getting to know and hire, and they need you. They need your spiritual growth. This church has chosen probably one of the most powerful tools of spiritual growth that you could ever acquire. There are churches who talk about this, but they don't do it very well. And there are churches who want to do it real well, but they don't have anyone really to help it get off the ground and get it organized. We have considered small groups. We have considered our Sunday morning services. We have considered opportunity in men's ministry and women's ministry overall. We are embracing prayer as our greatest ally and our greatest weapon against this temptation and against junk, against the spirit of entitlement or laziness. I don't want to go tonight. I got a million excuses. I got my kids. I got my work. I had a long day. My back is hurt. I smell bad. Whatever it is. Prayer is needed. People need to hear from God. What does he have to say about it? We are introducing a new program. John, come on up. This is called 40 Days. It actually has kicked off.
Churches across the country are embracing this. Doggone it, that sounds good to me. Because the church as a whole needs to embrace this as a whole. Some are doing it at different times, but some have already fired it up. I want you to hear what our church looks like right now as we begin this journey together. I mean, all ages and your opportunity that's there. Once again, it's not a tip, technique, or formula. Ain't nobody here trying to sell you something. I want you to understand you cannot fight these things alone. You need to hear from God, and we need to hear from God with each other.
And it's going to be awesome to learn that, just how that happens. Like, actually learn about prayer, learn how to pray, learn how to have breakthroughs in prayer, healing type of prayer, restorative prayer, guidance prayer, all these type of things. You're gonna have an opportunity to do that. I just have to say one quick thing just from my own testimony. I mean, I'm in the book of Philippians right now. I just do Bible study every week, which I love, small groups. It's one of the best places I grow. And God's been like hitting me up on this prayer thing even before we started this, you know, prayer journey together. In there, he was talking about remembering them, the people of Philippi, in his prayers. Always in prayer, in joy, he said, out of the partnership of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that whole verse there in the beginning of Philippians 1 just has really been challenging me about even praying from a joyful place. And where did that joyful place come from? Is remembering in partnership some things amongst sharing life one-on-one. Each person in this room, we've experienced different things together in a purpose for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it just spurred his heart. He's in prison, to joyful places, even in his prayer times with the Lord, how the Lord is ministering to him and how he's able to pray out of that place. And so it's just cool. I mean, prayer is an awesome thing in our life, and we all need it. Here's a cool thing. You guys get a free little bookmark for your Bibles. That's pretty cool. So just enjoy that. I'm going to give you just some nuts and bolts really quick, and I'll give Andrew back some time here. On this insert, this is your most important piece of information. You have two ways to be involved in this 40 days of prayer journey. The first way is a free opportunity for you for daily devotions online. And how it works is super simple. This talks you through it. Saddleback.com. You go to their homepage. You'll see 40 days of prayer series. You click on 40 days of prayer series. Then on that page, you just scroll down to where it says sign up for daily devotions. You click on that. And then there's a place where you can put your email in there. You fill in your email, and then bam, every day for the next 40 days, you're going to get a daily devotion sent to you via on your phone or your email for you to sit in. And today is day one. So your goal today is to go through that process and get signed up for that, because every day we have the opportunity to be in the same verse together, the same questions. And wouldn't it be cool, like, walking down, like, man, did that question, like, really get to you today? It's getting to me, or that verse, like, and we're going to be on the same page. We're praying that same journey together. On the back side of this is what Andrew was talking about. One of your greatest places of growth is going to be out of small group opportunity, life on life stuff, okay? This, if you look at this page, this is pretty awesome. There's a lot of small groups on here offering this prayer journey specifically, this specific study. There's still other groups meeting besides this. But this is where you get to sit under Rick Warren, has some great, great teaching about prayer. He's going to help you grow in this concept of what prayer is about. Get connected here. There's ones for men. There's ones for women. There's co-ed groups, okay? There's ones at lunchtime. There's ones at 7 a.m. in the morning. There's ones at night. I mean, we're trying to take away any excuses to get involved and connected to learn about prayer. This is where your probably your biggest growth is going to happen. If you miss this opportunity, you'll be in those devotions. Those are good, but this is where it's going to challenge you and grow you. And so get connected in that. This is where I encourage you to take some time right now, this morning, even before you go, to consider which one you would go to. And if you'd still like to offer a group, by the way, you might want to host one at your house. Just talk to myself or Scott, and we'll start advertising that even next Sunday and get that out. And we'll email blast it out. So just talk to us. We can let you host a group. We'll get you the material. It's real simple. We'll play a video. Talk about some questions afterwards. Pray together. Lastly, some of you may have ordered this last week. I asked you if you wanted one of these. They're about $15 a piece. This is just, it's a workbook that just allows you to go really deep with this stuff. So if you did do that, see me today because they're in. I have a couple extras if you think you would want one of those. And if I run out of those, we can order more. Just come and see me if you want this. This also has those daily journals that everyone else is doing online for free. Those are in here as well. But this is all the small group material also in here. But our leaders will have those questions for you in those small groups. So you can just show up, engage, and be involved. So,
thank you.
And then let's pray. Let's just pray powerfully with each other. Discern what God has for us in this dirt journey.
Slam dunk. Yeah. Thank you, God. If you don't have email, or you work a job where it's just really hard to get email, maybe you can get yourself to a computer, someone's laptop, and work through their laptop. I'm looking around the crowd here, and I'm aware of situations where there are some folks where it's just not on your phone. Your job does not allow that kind of phone, or maybe you don't have a laptop, but someone does, or the library. Let me just say this. Maybe you don't have email at all. Pray. Okay? Maybe you don't have a $15 journal. It's awesome. Pray. Get yourself a pad of paper. What did I pray today? What is God doing for me? Father, thank you for the way that you lead me, and give that blessing to him for hearing. And this morning, as I speak with you guys, I want you to know something. In the midst of temptation, you have the privilege and opportunity to grow. 2 Corinthians 12 is a verse I want you to read on your own, and there's a reason for that. This week, I'm going to challenge you that you would make a commitment to say no at least once. I hope you take this outline home and keep it. Read the verses. Maybe look them up in your Bible. Underline them. I hate it when I find them laying around here and you've taken the time to fill these out. Take it home. Open it up. Wherever you got a minute, just take a second. It's not my words. It's the scripture that'll change your life. One verse. One word of one verse. It's the word of God. It gives you some great opportunity to pray. There's a small group going everywhere. It's a cool photo of a meeting that's happening today. It's not a long meeting, but just kind of gives you an idea. Small groups are healthy, man. Small groups are healthy. You know, not everybody in there is healthy, including me. But good health comes out of unhealthy people. And by the way, that's called church. There's no healthy church. There's no perfect church. God meets us in our weaknesses. Let's fight temptation. Next couple weeks, we're going to nail some biggies. I invite you to come back. Invite your friends. I invite you to meet Jesus right where you are. Father, thank you for the gift of talking to you. The bigger gift of hearing from you. I lay down myself this morning, all of us together, and invite you into our heart to speak. We cut away of the rhetoric and the matrix. We need clarity. What is it you want us to know? What's the way out look like? Show us the escape. Give us the courage to take it. And in the process, build character and growth. Jesus, thank you for that way. Providing it instantly from the cross to pay for it. The resurrection to believe and hope, and certainly your kingdom that has been offered to us right now to start living differently. It started with your plan, and it ends with your plan, not mine, not man's. It's a gift. And for those who have never heard that before, and this morning it's your first time to hear it, accept that. The choice is yours, but make it. Make the choice. And we give it all to you in Jesus' name.